Amen. My Savior loves, my Savior lives. Do you believe that? Amen. Did you come with the anticipation to meeting with your Savior this morning? Because that is my prayer for you, that you came for none other reason than meeting with your God, to allow Him to edify you, to convict you, to change you. But guess what? Most importantly, that you leave here, as I told you last week, feeling joyful, knowing that God is alive. He's all forgiving. He's all merciful. And He loves you more than anything in this world. That is my desire for you this morning. As I begin to prepare for this message, I had something totally different. I come to work on Monday and I begin to sit down and God just gave me something totally different. I don't question God why. I just follow in obedience and do so. So this morning we're going to talk a bit about God's will. What is God's will? For you see, over the years, I have been asked as a minister, what is God's will? What is my purpose in life? What does God desire for me? And see, we seek and we look, but many of us never find. But this morning, my prayer is that we'll learn how to determine and respond to God's purpose in our life. This morning, we're going to take this journey. I'm going to give you three principles. Three principles that the Bible speaks and teaches us how to be in God's will. And then I'm going to give you three principles that takes us out of God's will. So this morning, I ask you to pray for me, pray for each other. We take this journey together and we understand. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 14 through 18. That would be our main part of our topic this morning in God's Word. I like what Paul says in the Colossians. He says, God has seasoned my mouth. And my prayer this morning that God has seasoned mine. That it will not be that of my own, but it be the words that God has for me. That He will speak through me. Ain't it amazing, though, that God will take a wretched sinner as I and use him and speak through him. It's amazing how God works. So if you have your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 through 18, stand with me in the reading of God's Word. And we begin reading in verse 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Bow your heads, shall we pray? Father God, I come to you this morning. I'm truly thankful that I have an opportunity to share your word. What a blessing it is, Father. It's not my words, but Father, your words that edify, change lives forever. This morning, Father, I ask that your presence be among us, that you anoint my mouth, Father, and you anoint the hearts of those who are receiving it, Father, that we can forever change for the glory of God. Father, I ask you to be with this church. Father, many prayer requests have been lifted to you this morning, Father, and Father, you know all things. Holy Spirit, you are invited to indwell with us this morning. Father God, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we read, what is God's will? Let's begin. The passage we just read through, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, God is speaking to the Thessalonians. It was a time when the Gentiles were God-fearing. They were disillusioned by adultery and low moral standards. The Gentiles had studied Jewish religion. They found themselves to be religious, but they had never adopted any particular religion of their own. So the Bible teaches us that the Thessalonians missed the mark because of their own desires. So let's look at this. So what is God's will? The Bible is clear upon this matter. I want you to listen to me. It wasn't clear for the Gentiles, but it's clear now. So I want to flip over just one or two books there to 1 Timothy, if you can. I want you to see this because it's not my words. I want you to see what God says about this. And we're going to look at the very first principle, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Very important that we get this very first principle of God's will down. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And the Bible says, this is good
and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and have come to the knowledge and truth. What is that? God desires that all men, you catching me? That all men come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He doesn't desire that only Rocky Hill. He doesn't desire that only Knoxville or East Tennessee. God desires for every man and every woman throughout the entire world to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you've ever questioned that a day in your life, let me tell you something here. To understand God's will, He desires you, He wants you, He needs you, He loves you, and He wants everything about you. God desires a relationship with you. Salvation, we ask. What is salvation? The Bible says what? He desires a relationship that all men to be saved. So what? How do we become saved? The Bible makes this clear. What did John chapter 3 verse 7 say? Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. The first time we are born, we are born by water. The second time by spirit. Acts chapter 16, verse 30, 31. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, sir, how can I be saved? And what did he respond? Did he say? He said, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9, very common verse. It says that if I confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and shall in thy heart believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt what? Thou shalt be saved. So let me make something clear, church. The very first principle pertaining to God's will is this. Salvation through Christ Jesus is a prerequisite. Without being saved, without knowing Christ first, we cannot understand and we cannot be in God's will. So if you're sitting here this morning and say, throughout my entire life, I've been searching for my family, I've been searching for me, I ask you to question whether or not you've ever committed your life to Jesus Christ. Because the Bible teaches me, without it, you cannot know the one who has created you the purpose of. Second principle this morning, it says, as a believer, God transforms our lives, something changes. After we believe in Jesus Christ and we accept Him, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, what? Let me read with you. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to be present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but be transferred by the renewing of your mind, and so that you may be proved that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, as a believer, that is the beginning point. We accept Jesus Christ, something begins to change. Many of us believe the first time we accept Jesus Christ and Lord comes into our life, well, we're automatically in God's will, maybe at the beginning. But we'll learn to find out as believers we can lose God's will. But the Bible says what? As a believer, we are to be transformed. The way we used to think, the way we did things, the renewing of our mind. We cannot be consumed with the world. God says, I'm here, the world's there. You cannot have it both ways. You want to be in my will? You want to discover your purpose in life? Then what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The third part, it comes from the Bible in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. We'll look at the rest of that verse on the latter part of this. But listen what the Bible says. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. The Bible says what? God desires for us to be pure, sanctified. Meaning, we are to be pure in our thoughts. We are to be pure in our motives, our beliefs, our understandings. We are to be in good conscience. Have you ever had something just eaten at your conscience for something you had done? God's will says He desires for us to be pure. We are desire. He desires for us to be pure, be cleansed in fellowship. What does it mean to be in fellowship? Walking with the Father. Walking each and every day in our prayer life. Doing these things, do what? They keep us in the will of the Father. Jesus teaches us one other thing about being pure. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said, thou shalt the Lord thy God love with all our heart. Jesus taught us that to have a pure heart means to love and desire Him with everything. Let me tell you something, church. The Bible does not give us fizzy principles concerning this matter. Many of us sitting here today may ask the questions I've been seeking for a long time, but let me tell you what the Bible teaches us. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Bible says, don't be ignorant. Don't be foolish concerning this matter, because I have taught you, I have given you these three principles. That is the very beginning. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. To be pure and to be sanctified, to be renewed and changing of the mind. Bible said it's not hard, to discover. So do not be ignorant to the matter. It reminds me many times what the Bible taught me in Luke chapter 12. You know what the Bible says? It says much has been given, much is expected. People, as I look around this morning, much has been given. We have a place to come and worship. We have been given God's word. We can carry it freely. We have Sunday school classes. We have a lot of things, a lot of resources pertaining to God's word. And he says, don't be ignorant. So much has been given. Much is expected of you. So let's review very quickly. What are the three principles? God says what? My desire is for all to be saved. He says what else? He says, let our lives be transformed and renewed in our mind. And thirdly, he says, be sanctified, be pure. It's been hard. It's been told. God has shared his word. But let me tell you something. The world wants us to understand something different. Not only does the Bible teach us how to be in God's will, the world wants us to be what? He wants us to strip away that we no longer be in God's will. Because why? The importance of it. But this morning we want to relish, we want to embed in God's teachings concerning our lives. We must also recognize what? The hindrances that what? Derive us from God's word. In order for us to be victorious, we must understand the victor and the opponent above us. So this morning, if you're feeling hopeless and defeated, I want you to know this. That is our passions, our desires that place us in the gutter. But it is God Almighty that brings us out. Let's look at three principles quickly pertaining to staying from God's will. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4:3b. Now, I spoke with this earlier. That's just a chapter back. We'll move back just a little bit. We're still talking about the Gentiles here at the Thessalonians. But the latter part of the verse that I read earlier was God's will and sanctification. The last part of the verse, the Bible teaches us what? That we are to abstain from sexual morality. Now, let's think about that just for a minute. The importance of it. Following sanctification, the very first principle it says to take you out of God's will is sexual morality. Now, what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches that this relationship between a husband and a wife has been what? Was created and designed for the purpose. And outside of that purpose, everything else is not of God and immoral. We live in the world today where that sexual relationships are okay. We can look and find about anything there is on the internet. We don't protect ourselves. Marriages are no longer a covenant. But the Bible says, if you want, without it being unspoken, you want out of my will, then do what? Sexual morality. Secondly, the Bible says, control your body. Your vessel, subdue your passions. Let's read in 1 Thessalonians 4:4. It says, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who did not know God. This falls back to what we talked about earlier in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. We cannot be conformed by the world. The world says what? Do as you desire. Do as you want. But see, I tell you this morning, my Bible says to seek God first. And God will reveal and reveal himself through your passions and your desires. We not to live by the philosophy and perspective of the world. What is good for the goose is good for the gander. I heard the statement financially, let's keep up with the Joneses. No pun intended if your last name is Jones this morning. But the Bible says what? No, you are to be separated outside of God's will. You need to subdue your passions and control yourself. Control your mouth, control your mind, control everything about you. For this will take you out of God's will. And lastly, We can hinder God's will by how we treat others. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4:6. Read with me. It says, "And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we have told you before, and Solomon warned you." Let me tell you this. My Bible teaches me that we mistreat people, that we mistreat and disobey God. If we want out of God, then we live life selfishly. We step on toes. We seek people out of our own gratification. We befriend or defraud people because of who we are. My Bible teaches me, you want out of my will, then you treat each other falsely. You treat each other with no respect. And on a side note this morning, I want to give you this. Church, body of believers, if any of these three implications, these three principles that take us out of God's will is within our church, let me tell you something, as a body of believers, this church will never grow, will never falter, because why? We're out of God's will. Why, Brother Jeremy, you just stepped on my toes. I wasn't aiming for your toes, I was aiming for your heart. God says these three principles, not only as an individual, but as a church, will do what? It will destroy. It destroys families. It destroys churches. So let's think about that. Let's pray about it. So I question one more time this morning, church, what is God's will? Let's read one more time carefully, and then we'll see, and we'll define it. Allow God to speak. Turn with me back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. Read with me one more time. I'll give you just a second. And everything that we have talked about, to see if this doesn't ring a bell, if God has not defined it for you this morning. Verse 14 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks." What does it say? "For this is God's will for you." Church, as I think about this, and I read, and I begin to study, and I understand that God truly loves us. He desires each and every one of us. So you ask me this, as a believer, how do we maintain God's will? The Christian life says what? The Bible teaches us we got to confess and repent. Jesus Christ knew that you and I could never be perfect. But if we're going to stay in God's will and understand how much He truly loves us, then we got to withstand. We got to subdue our passions. We can't follow I, but follow Him. The Bible says to what? Confess and to repent. Other things is edification. What does it mean? Stay in God's Word. Stay in church. Allow God's Word to edify you, to convict you, to change you. Because the Bible says that's good for all parts of the body, that we are to be edified. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're a Christian and a believer, and you say, "Well, I struggle knowing God's will," think back to the three things that God has just given us. Have you given your life to Christ? Do you subdue your passions? Do you live a pure life? Peter says to live holy. And when we can't, do we walk back to the one who created it and says, "You know what, God, I'm not perfect. Love me, forgive me," and you walk away. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you said, you know what, I've never known God's will. Well, maybe you've never known God as your personal Lord and Savior. Let me tell you something, I reiterate this. God's desire is for you to know Him through Jesus Christ. That is His desire. And maybe this morning you've never known Him and God's calling upon you. You will have an opportunity in just a moment to respond to God. What is His desire for you? Are you in God's will? Church, are we in God's will? I allow God to find that for you. Will you bow your heads with me? Father God, I come to you this morning. I am so thankful for the reading of your word, for your edification, for showing us your will. You said that we are not to be ignorant to the fact of what the Bible says. to not to ask the questions. That you have given it to us right there. And you said that you love each and every one of us more than anything. And your desires for us to all be in your will. Father, I know there is some sitting here this morning that has struggled with your will coming in and out, Father, because of their own desires and passion. You says what as a believer we can do what? We can repent, we can confess. Not only does that keep us in communication with you, Father, that edifies us. Father, my prayer is here this morning that those that may be struggling this morning will come to repentance and say, you know what, Father, here I am. They will meet you at this altar. They will fall on their knees and say, Father, take me, love me, and forgive me. Father, I want to be in your will. I want the direction that you have for me. I want to take my family there. I want to lead my church. I want to do all these things. I don't want to be on the outside looking in. I want to be with you, Father, in your will. And Father, most importantly, Father, there's some city here that have never known you, have never understood what it would have to be like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to be in his will, to feel that love, to restore all hope that has been gone. Father, you said what? I love you. Come to me through Christ Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. As Nicodemus, as he told Nicodemus' father, he said what? You must be born again. You didn't make it hard on us, Father. You didn't make it difficult to understand. You said confess and believe. And Father, my prayer, if there's some sitting here this morning that has never done so, Father, they will walk this aisle. They will run. They will be rejoicing to meet your Savior. Father, I'm so thankful for this church, Father. If there's any of those three principles, Father, that will lie within this church, Father, that takes us out of your will, that we may falter, Father, I ask you to convict us as a church, Father, that we may get back into your will, that we may see lives change, we may see the lost come to you, Father, not because of what we think, not because of things that we do, Father, because your will is being done within the lives of the believers in this church. That is my only prayer. Father, we love you. Your word has been spoken. Father, convict for the people to respond. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.